Hello everyone, this is Hodo. Welcome to our episode today, which is called Tell Me How Long Till It Feels Like We're Home. I'm here with Zusi. Please welcome Zusi. Just introduce yourself.
Hi everyone, so my name is Zusi. I'm a British-born Nigerian, currently living in Watford, although I originally lived in Harleston, in London. And my family is from Edo State in Nigeria, and on my mum's side we are Benin, and then on my dad's side we're mainly Ishan. So those are the two main ethnic groups that we have in my family.
Okay, great, thank you for that. So do you feel like you associate yourself more with the Nigerian culture or the British culture?
I'd say that's really, like, that's quite a difficult question to answer, just because I don't feel 100% British by virtue of the fact that I will never be accepted as 100% British, and by virtue of the fact that my culture is also informed very heavily by the Nigerian side.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't feel 100% Nigerian either, but I would say that it leans more towards the Nigerian side. I feel like there's an aspect of Nigerian culture that I won't be able to access just because I'm not there on the ground and I'm not living there. I've never lived there. I go back there for visits, but yeah, my culture is still heavily informed by the Nigerian side. I would say, if anything, there's a Black British culture that those of us who are second generation immigrants have sort of built for ourselves, and that is the culture that I would say that I mainly subscribe to, and that's sort of a mix of the two.
Okay. And do you feel like you are truly home when you're in this country? As a British, do you think that you truly belong here? Or you're truly accepted?
I would say that, well, no, like, simple answer, no. I don't think that we're truly accepted, which is really interesting because those of us who are here in the West, we're not here just because we felt like coming here. We're not here just because we thought it would be fun. We're here because things have happened, things have destabilized our countries, or things have tanked the economy, or, you know, a lot of it is a direct effect of colonization. So we're here because we sought a better life from the country that colonized us. Like, Nigeria was a former British colony.
Mm-hmm.
So it's really, really crazy how you'll come here and you'll be faced with such hostility, such direct hostility, actually, considering everything that's happened in the past and everything that led to us actually coming here.
Yeah.
So I have a friend, actually, who said, well, we have a friend, you know her,
yeah,
who said something really interesting, and I never considered it that way. She said that a lot of us were actually economic refugees, if you really, really think about it.
Wait, who said this? Sorry.
Tosin.
Oh, Tosin, okay, yeah.
Which was a really interesting way of putting it, because it's true. Like, if not for the fact that our countries have sort of faced this economic decline as a direct result of sort of the meddling that's happened with our governments and our policies, mm-hmm, we probably wouldn't be here.
Yeah, for sure.
So yeah, it's interesting. I do not feel like I'm 100. Sorry, what was your question?
Do you truly feel like you belong here? And I mean, despite being born here and growing up here, do you think you're truly accepted?
No, I don't think I'm accepted. Yeah, based off of everything that I've said, the hostility that we face, in spite of the fact that there is a direct reason why we're here.
Yeah,
I don't feel like we belong here.
And do you think there's more that there could be more done on, you know, welcoming people like you and making them feel more accepted?
Yeah, I feel like
in
this country specifically, yeah, I feel like there definitely could be a lot more done in terms of empathy and inclusivity. But I also feel like a lot of people, the British public generally, don't know what has been done on behalf of them by, mm-hmm, their government. They,
yeah,
don't realize that a lot of the people that come here because of XYZ reasons or XYZ events that were perpetrated by the British government.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, I guess it is kind of hard to empathize when, mm-hmm, you don't know the full facts, but I think that at least try, and a lot of people do not try. It's very obvious.
Yeah. Do you think that you, growing up as a child, both Nigerian and British,
mm-hmm,
there was a lot of confusion? I mean, now you're an adult, so there's more of, like, you know where to lean more towards.
Yeah.
You've kind of formulated a sense of identity. But then, were you frustrated as a child not being able to kind of go here nor there? Does that make sense?
Like, yeah. Yeah, that makes sense. I think growing up as an African child, or a second generation immigrant African child in the UK, is a really interesting, quite unique experience, just because, Well, firstly, when a lot of us were coming of age, being African wasn't cool. It wasn't cool.
Oh, yeah, it was the Caribbeans.
Yeah, that was cool. They were cool. We weren't cool. So a lot of people weren't even trying to pretend that... They were trying to pretend that they were Caribbean, mm-hmm. or they were just trying to, like, distance themselves from their African heritage. So that's quite confusing when you have this family of yours, you have this culture of yours, and you're outwardly being told that it's not cool. It's kind of lame.
Yeah.
You know, you'll bring your food to school, usual comments, what's that? This
smells.
This,
yeah.
It smells. You know, your parents will come in their trad and comment about that. Like, literally every aspect of the culture that you would outwardly display would be picked on in some way, or it would be pointed out, or you'd be made to feel like mm-hmm. an outsider, you'd be ostracized. So I guess in that way, it does kind of cause like a conflict, because mm-hmm. it's like, oh, okay, this side of me is not cool,
yeah,
the native side, the African side, so maybe like this other culture that I can kind of tap into, maybe that's the side that I should lean towards, because
yeah.
that's a side that people won't denigrate.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, weird.
Yeah, I think it would be even more complicated for our kids,
mm-hmm.
because they now have to unpack the whole British Nigerian or British Somali or whatever, and kind of pick out their own identity from that. I guess exactly. that's what we did. Like, we kind of looked around and saw our parents' culture and then what we grew up with here, and then picked out our own kind of piece from yeah. that. But do you think there's a lot of pressure, just talking about kids, do you think there's a lot of pressure on us to kind of pass down the culture more than ever? Because, I mean, it was easier for our parents because they grew up there and it's kind of just simple to instill those values.
Yeah.
But for us, so... we're not directly from the culture, we learn everything through our parents, so do you mm-hmm. think it'd be more difficult for us to pass it down?
I think it definitely will be more difficult, but there is still that pressure to sort of pass down the culture, just because in our culture it is actually a source of shame if you have killed children who are considered to be sort of like overly westernized, or they mm-hmm. haven't really, like, they've assimilated too much into the culture that they're now living in.
Yeah.
So like one big thing is not speaking your language. That is quite a huge source of shame.
Mm-hmm.
Or not knowing, like, just not knowing about your culture, not knowing your foods, that kind of stuff. So yeah, the pressure is still there, but it probably is going to be a bit harder just because we don't have that direct link.
Yeah,
like definitely. You said, we don't have the resources or the access that our parents had by virtue of growing up there and living there for however long before they eventually came here.
Yeah.
So yeah, it will be difficult, just because, like, if you want to speak to this person, you want to get advice from this person or this person,
mm-hmm.
it's spread throughout the diaspora. I can't just like walk down the road to my grandma's house in Lagos and ask her this or whatever.
Definitely not. And I was thinking that passing down culture is not, like, I mean, you shouldn't feel too bad that you don't speak the language, and that would be a massive aspect when it comes to you passing it down to your children, because there's many aspects to passing down culture, like food, traditional clothing, just many parts of it, but I guess language is one of the main ones, so I can understand.
But then, like, jumping off of what you just said, if we take food as another example, you'd think the food would be a really, really simple one because it's just food, but it's actually really, really complicated because there are so many different types of, like, dishes, and there are dishes that are native to specific regions and specific tribes, like mm-hmm. I don't even know all of the soups in my tribe. I don't think my mum knows, like, I'm sure my grandma doesn't even know, like, there are so many, so
yeah, it's complicated.
Exactly.
Yes, it's so simple. Yeah,
exactly.
No, yeah, I understand that. Do you feel like one day maybe you will eventually move to Nigeria and live there?
So this is an interesting question, just because I think as a Westerner or someone living in the Western world, we have to sort of be conscious of the fact that the Africa that we experience, even though we are native to Africa, is kind of almost like a tourist experience.
Mm-hmm.
A bit more in-depth, a bit more familiar than the tourist experience, of course, mm-hmm. but it's not going to be like a true, true native experience because we're not living there.
Yeah.
We'll go there for 2 weeks, like, we'll enjoy ourselves, we'll have a great time, and then we fly home. So a lot of the things that you would experience, like actually being someone who lives in your country, is not what you'd experience when your visit's back.
Yeah.
And I think it's really easy to romanticize it and think that, yeah, all of our problems are going to be solved, especially considering the kind of life and the kind of pressures and injustices that we face over here. It's mm-hmm. really easy to romanticize going back home thinking everything's going to be great. But
yeah,
obviously there are two sides to everything.
No, definitely. We also have another friend who we went to university with. Her name is Enna. She's from Nigeria as well. She moved back to Nigeria after she completed her university, and so you often she used to go back and forth and, you know, just visit there, and it was fun for her from what she's explained. But now that experience is completely different. She doesn't like it at all because, you know, she doesn't have the freedom that she had here.
Yeah.
Even as just as simply as a woman, it's just everything is completely different when you're actually living there, not when you're visiting. There's way more issues that you see at hand, and you can't just turn away because you're not just visiting, you're living there. You have to deal with everything that's thrown at you, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, it's more complex, I guess, than just packing your bags and saying, oh, I'm gonna move to my country.
Exactly. Like, yeah, throwing it but that easy, but I mean, nothing ever is.
Do you think Africa could ever be in our lifetime at a stage where it's prospering and is, I mean, I guess, to an extent, the same level as the rest of the world?
I think, if we are being completely, completely honest, I mean, anything is possible, and, you know, stranger things have happened, miracles happen all the time. Having said that, in my lifetime, I just don't see it happening, just because, if anything, I see things getting worse. Mm-hmm. I see a lot of the people who are sort of lined up to be the future leaders of Africa, specifically my country, let me not speak on the whole of Africa, but specifically my country, a lot of the people that I've seen who are lined up or in positions to be the future leaders, I'm slightly worried.
Yeah, I think they're the ones that are tearing the country down.
Yeah, I'm not sure about their moral compass, so
I don't know.
I don't know.
Yeah, that makes sense, I guess. I was going to touch up on our experiences in uni. Like, just a lot of the money that comes out of Africa actually is spent here, and we've seen it firsthand in our university. So yeah, we went to uni with a lot of African kids that are politicians' kids, I guess. And the money that should be going into the country is going to them to live a lavish lifestyle, I guess. So yeah, that was sad to see, and it was kind of just reminding us that we can actually never all just decide, okay, we're going to go back home and fix this, because it's bigger than that. We can't fix corruption unless those that are corrupt are willing to fix it, I guess.
Yeah. Or unless there's a sufficient deterrent, which there currently isn't, because these people are sort of, they're stealing from the public coffers with complete impunity. Like, they're doing it, they're happy with it, it's completely fine, it's normal.
And everyone knows that they're doing it. Yeah, that's the sad thing. Yeah. But yeah, so do you feel like it's up to us as a diaspora to kind of go back home and fix these issues, or is this way too kind of out of hand at this point for us to do anything about?
I think we do have a responsibility, all of us who are here in the West, just because one of the issues that we have in Africa is that we have a lot of brain drain, where a lot of people who are, well, a lot of our like brightest and our best will maybe study in Africa, or they'll go study in the West, and then they'll stay in the West.
Mm-hmm.
Or they'll just start in the West to begin with. So we're losing a lot of our talent, and that means that a lot of the people who would be quite instrumental in rebuilding and in improving the livelihoods of all the people that live there are not there. So we're losing a lot of our talent, and we're losing a lot of our resources.
Mm-hmm.
So I do think that just because of that, we do all have a responsibility to go back and make sure that what we sort of get out of Africa, we're putting it back in.
Yeah,
we're not putting it elsewhere, we're putting it back in.
Mm-hmm.
But I do also acknowledge that these problems are long-standing. They've been here long before we got here. They will probably be here long after we go. So it's not as simple as just, I'm going to go back home and I'm gonna change the world and fix Africa. And, you know, it's a lot more straightforward. Exactly.
Yeah, definitely. There's another interesting thing about Africa. So as much as the culture is beautiful and the people, like everything about Africa is beautiful, I feel like the culture, and also alongside religion, does contribute to a lot of the problems that are there.
Mm-hmm.
What do you think about that? And do you feel like that's something that exists? Can it be changed? Or
religion being sort of problem in Africa?
Yeah, just quickly, sorry, we're just running out of time, but yeah, okay. I just thought,
very quick sort of high level answer, I would say that it generally has the ability to sort of make people turn a blind eye.
Mm-hmm.
People might not question things as much because they don't want to be seen as questioning a religious leader, but there have been a lot of leaders who have done some very questionable things, engaged in some very questionable practices, which we would not accept if it were just from a regular person.
Mm-hmm.
But because they are portraying themselves as a man of God or a woman of God, we're sort of allowing these things to fly under the radar. So I do think that people's unwillingness to sort of question anything as soon as anything related to religion is involved is handicapping Africa, essentially. Like, we're refusing to look past this, and that's going to be a problem going forward.
Okay. Unfortunately, we're out of time. Thank you for your contributions, Lucy. Do you have any questions, any last minute thoughts?
I don't. Just keep hope alive, everyone.
All right, thank you so much for your contribution. Thank you to everyone that has joined us today. We hope to see you on our next episode. Thank you. Bye-bye.